Oxford Street, forward Bloomsbury Way, forward Bloomsbury Square, forward Vernon Place, forward Theobald Road, right Hatton Gardens, left
High Road, Cowley Peachy, forward High Road, Cowley, forward Cowley Road, then left into Trumper Way, left into Oxford Road, comply roundabout Lee by Oxford Road, right to Denham Avenue, forward Denham Way, forward into Uxbridge Road, comply roundabout Lee by Oxford Road, comply eastbound roundabout Lee by Wensum Way.
Good afternoon, lovely listeners. This is Sean Paul Day for London Taxi Radio, and I'll be bringing you the news items shortly. But, oh, now that's not a very good start to the day, is it? But I've had a bit of forced time off. Now, I'm as guilty as anybody for enjoying a bit of time off, or perhaps taking a little bit too much time off, mainly because I haven't got anybody to crack the whip. As cab drivers, we don't have a direct boss, do we? So there's no one cracking the whip there saying we need to be in work at a certain time. And currently at home, there's nobody cracking the whip there. So that one cup of coffee can take 7 hours. Now, I'm the kind of person that doesn't sleep a lot. So I wake early, but I don't get going very early. Unless I have something that really motivates me, the intention to leave the house would be 8 a.m. and invariably it's midday. Again, that one cup of coffee can be indulged for all those hours. Terrible thing. This time it was forced time off because I had gallstones. Oh, the pain. And anybody who's had gallstones will be able to relate to what I'm talking about. And if you haven't had gallstones, you really do not want them. The thing is, I live with it for about a week because the pain is kind of transient. It doesn't last too long. It lasts about an hour and it's excruciating, but then it subsides very quickly. So you think, oh, I'm recovering or getting better. But invariably, they come back and then come back and are more persistent and for longer periods of time. And so it got to the point where I couldn't live with it any longer and had to take myself into A&E. And the pain is constant, and that is the worst thing about it. So if you've got something like a bad back, you think I might be able to lie on this side, and there is a little bit of pain relief there. Not with gallstones, it is constant. So it doesn't matter whether you're lying down, sitting up, standing, running, doing back bends, it really doesn't matter. The pain is constant. I mean, as for forced time off, when the overhaul comes around, I never take a replacement cab. One, because you usually get a cart, don't you? And two, because I quite like the idea that the cab has gone into the garage, it's not my responsibility, and I can relax and enjoy the time off. But you really don't want to have gallstones to force you to have time off. You really don't. It isn't quite summer out there, but it is in my heart. And this is Joe Cocker, Summer in the City. It doesn't get any better than that.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. I've been down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk, hotter than a match head. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it will be alright. And baby, don't you know it's a pity? The days can be like the night. In the summer, in the city. In the summer, in the city. Cool town, evening in the city. Dressed so fine. Stop running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night, it's a different world. Go on, find the girl. Come on, come on, let's dance all night. Despite the heat, it will be alright. And baby, don't you know it's a pity? The days can't be like the night. In the summer, in the city, in the summer,
A recent article, which was posted online by citylab.com, has attempted to discredit the taxi trade by presenting an argument that as non-residents, taxi drivers were stirring up trouble for residents in the borough of Tower Hamlets, who are advocates of the bus gate scheme there. Needless to say, this is blatantly not true. But then, CityLab was never going to publish the most relevant part of the taxi driver's response when asked to comment. The nucleus of the argument is with the residents who are forced to suffer the impact of rerouted traffic. The police, I've got to say, did attend, as is customary at any protest, but they left within 15 minutes. And as I understand it, there were no concerns that the protest would turn hostile. If CityLab had attended any of the protests or experienced any of the protests that are called by the ITA, they would know that they are the most peaceful demonstrations held in the capital. The fact is, 99% of the protesters were residents of Tower Hamlets, who do not consider the road to be a rat run, but a major access point to the A12. Taxis provide the public with the only demand-responsive door-to-door service in London. TaxiCard alone enables over 80,000 members in 32 participating boroughs to take around 1.3 million trips per year, and the scheme enables those who may have difficulty using public transport, such as buses, trains and tubes, to get out and about and enjoy their city. Surely, it is a matter of personal liberty. If licensed taxis are prevented from using the bus gate on Tredegar Road, what provision has the local authority put in place to ensure that those with mobility issues are not forced onto costly, time-inefficient routes? Mobility remains a concern for the elderly, frail, wheelchair-dependent, sight-impaired, anxious, and those carrying heavy luggage or shopping. The cab fleet is rapidly moving towards electric, with nearly 3,000 in operation in the space of just 18 months, unlike buses, I may add, that are allowed to run on diesel until 2037. All new taxis have to be zero emission capable, and it's also worth remembering that taxis have always conformed to the EU emission strategy and are stringently tested twice a year to ensure they uphold safety standards. Permitting taxis to access the bus gate is not about prioritising the driver, is it? But allowing those who have chosen not to use their car, or better still, not to own one, to access transport that delivers an efficient, accessible door-to-door service. Now, in 2015, the European Court of Justice ruled that the practice of permitting, in order to establish a safe and efficient transport system, black cabs were to use bus lanes on public roads during the hours when traffic restrictions relating to those bus lanes were operational. With the crime rate in Tower Hamlets being at an all-time high, no one, especially the most vulnerable in society, should be denied a door-to-door service in what is factually the safest transport option in the capital.
Margaret Cooper. There we go.
Right.
What's the state of play? What are we doing?
So what we're doing, we've instructed Rhineys. We've got another closure on Antill and one on Coburn. We're clearing those now. And then the lorry that's cleared those will come along here and we'll lift this. I don't want to lift this before we change those, otherwise it'll cause even more mayhem down
what,
the end.
What's the reasoning for putting them here in the first place and then removing them?
Are you taping me?
Videoing. Not videoing, recording.
Recording, that's what I meant.
Just for transparency.
Sure, okay. So it's a council priority to try to make the Bow area and other areas as walking and cycling friendly as possible, facilitating public transport, getting rid of rat runs, but not helping people to get about their area where it's essential. So if they need their cars, they should be able to get about. And that's one of the issues we've had with this, because it's a temporary...
So it's not been thought through, basically?
It's been thought through, but you can't do all the changes. And what it has done is raised awareness, because we've already been out and consulted with people twice in the area.
A consultation?
And had engagement, talking to people. And we've had a lot of support for doing this sort of thing. But by doing it...
And an impact assessment report?
That's what this was hoping to bring about.
This is the impact assessment report, is what you're doing now.
This is part of the consultation because it's a trial. And what it has done is raise awareness amongst those people that hadn't seen any of the consultation. So we're getting a different set of views.
So the consultation will go out to whom? Just for local residents?
It will go out to the whole of Bow.
Just in Bow? It will just remain to the postcode residents?
All the Bow board, and then it'll go to Transport for London, it'll go to, if we get to statutory, then we'll go to all the statutory.
And then once it's gone statutory, that would mean anybody can get involved in the consultation.
Yes.
A lorry driver from Leeds could decide what comes through these barriers.
We know.
But no, basically that is how it works, isn't it? For consultations.
Or Joe the cyclist
from Newcastle
can
consult onto the consultation. And they could override all the residents with their views. So the residents would basically have no say if you're going to make it a nationwide consultation.
I think we have the technology to track where those responses come from.
You might have the resources to track it, but would it be acted upon once tracked?
Yes.
So why don't you just make it for the local residents rather than going through all that process?
Well, statutory means you've got to do it, yeah?
You're going to take all that away now, yeah?
Have they finished at the... Sorry.
So this is your choice to put these here at this time and your choice to take these away?
No, I'm acting on discussions I've had with my managers and the mayor and everybody. No.
The mayor? You've actually met the mayor?
I've met the mayor's... Not today, but I've been in consultation with the mayor and he'd approved doing this.
The mayor? What's the deed current?
No, the mayor
just
of Tower Hamlets.
The Tower Hamlets mayor.
Yes.
Has approved
but
what you've just done
here. But Transport for London are fully aware of this, not necessarily Sadiq Khan, but this is part of some projects that they are funding.
Okay, and have you discussed it with any disabled groups locally?
Yes.
And what was their views? Or are you still waiting for it to come back?
No. I mean, we've got the special needs transport coming through, allowed through for school buses and things.
School buses? Taxis with disabled people? Even though they're not electric, they're diesel taxis, can they come through with a disabled passenger?
At the minute, that's a trial that's closing down now, yeah? What we would do is take all those comments and then look at how we actually operate.
But in the meantime, if I turn up here with a disabled passenger in my cab, it's a diesel cab, would I be allowed to go through your barrier to drop your disabled passenger to the top of this road?
Well, you will now, because we're stopping the
The barriers here, you're trialling it. What am I going to do with my disabled passenger who's in the back of my taxi?
But we're taking the barriers away right now.
If I were to turn up here an hour ago when the barrier was up, would you have given me access in my diesel taxi to come through here, because it's all about clean air, allegedly? Would I have come through with my disabled passenger?
We'd have directed you round the other way,
right,
really.
So my disabled passenger would have to pay more money because I've got to go on a diversionary route because you won't let that person through here.
That's a good... a good argument for saying that if you make something permanent, you would allow taxes.
Well, again, that should have been discussed in the impact assessment. It's impacting on their lives that they've got to pay more to get from A to B.
But it's a trial,
So all the way you're trialling, they've still got to pay more money to get from A to B.
But we've stopped the trial now.
The trial is now stopped till...
Yes.
What, finished till when?
Finished.
Okay, so when does this come in force?
Well, it doesn't yet. We've got to go through all that impact assessment stuff.
Right, so this will not be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week?
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
They don't like it up themselves. Radio.
Extinction Rebellion's Week of Disruption is in full swing. The group is asking people in London and other cities around the world to take 2 weeks off work and join the revolt against the impending climate catastrophe. What they haven't even begun to consider is that these protests aren't for the people. In fact, they could be considered as being against the people. The death cult says mankind is doomed if we do not cut carbon emissions to a net zero by 2025. Think about that for a second. That is just 5.5 years away. They want us to halve the vast array of human activity that produces carbon. So, All that digging for coal instead of trees needs to stop. All those Chinese factories that employ millions of people and produces billions of things used by people around the world. All those jobs in the UK and those jobs in the fossil fuel industry. All that flying, all that driving, all those cheap clothes, all that Facebooking and phone using, and all that cheap transportation. It has to stop. Don't get me started on there being a war on cars, because evidently there isn't. What there is a war on Londoners. Because if your car is being driven to make corporations or TfL money, then you are welcome to flood the streets of the capital, currently standing at 107,000. And that doesn't even include cross-border hiring. We all do things that come easy to us in life, and taking 2 weeks off work to protest may not be difficult for some, but as evidenced by the pictures, many of those who think they're playing their part in saving the planet certainly aren't willing to give up eating McDonald's, are they? Phew. What I do know is that I'm not the only cabbie out there to have an opinion. So if you've got something to say and want to get your voice aired, then DM me at London Taxi Radio or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. And if you can do it without using any profanities, even better.
The head to stop the tears from falling. I will find it. not your cup of tea.
Then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% music.
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
But you might say that.
London Taxi Radio, the cabbie's choice.
Unless you've been in hiding, you'll be aware that TfL has granted Uber London Limited a two-month licence extension. And of course, this is totally and utterly unacceptable. Uber London is either fit or not fit to continue operating. The fit and proper status should be binary and not open to a gradient interpretation. We are led to believe that the award of a further two-month licence extension is in order to give Uber London a third chance to get their house in order, but is testimony to the reluctance of TfL to put public safety before all else. Now, and this is a case in point, isn't it? Uber has had 6 years and 8 months to ensure public safety. They have not satisfied our woefully inadequate regulator that the public is safe with them, and yet TfL, and it really does beg a belief, have chosen to extend their licence. When will this dereliction of their duty of care to protect the travelling public end? As soon as the decision was made, however, UTAG contacted its legal team seeking guidance on an injunction to stop Uber operating until such a time that the safety of passengers could be guaranteed. A spokesperson for UTAG stated that they are seeking advice and remain ready and waiting for the decision in 2 months, and to be assured that they will take the correct action at the right time, including challenging any decision that is made. They went on to say that they remain totally committed to holding TfL to account in court for the damage caused to our trade through inept and cowardly regulation that is seemingly biased in favour of a well-funded but unfit operator, and I see them right. Obviously, the argument expands beyond Uber, and considering TfL won't release the Deloitte report that would clarify Uber's legal or illegal status, we desperately need to bring into question TfL's corporate relationship with all the companies that it is granting an operator's licence to. Chris Johnson, who spearheaded the fight for mental well-being, stated that TfL have found Uber to be fit and proper despite them failing to meet their employment obligations and despite their potential shirking of tax responsibilities. Failure to comply with employment law means Uber can keep the fare artificially low, unfairly draining trade from the taxi industry and forcing taxi drivers to work longer hours to make ends meet. TfL have a duty of care to all licensees, and it's absurd to suggest TfL can be allowed to create a mental health problem, then kind of repair it by simply putting bandages on a wound. Common sense tells us if TfL are going to allow Uber, our main competition, operate on the wrong side of the law and still find them fit and proper, then the inevitable consequence is a mental health problem in the taxi trade. And that is something they quite frankly should not be allowed to get away with.
TfL's autumn-winter edition of the En Route magazine addresses the importance of taxi drivers obtaining a good night's sleep to improve their mental health and well-being. Now, I welcome this article by TfL, and I welcome that TfL have acknowledged there is a mental health crisis within the taxi and private hire trade. And they've caused that crisis. Now, on one hand, TfL are saying that it's really important for taxi drivers to get a good night's sleep. Yet on the other hand, what they are doing, they are licensing private hire operators who are not obeying the employment and VAT laws. And therefore, that keeps the minicab fare artificially low. That in turn sucks trade out of the taxi industry into the minicab industry and forces taxi drivers to work longer hours to make ends meet. Now, how can TfL say, on one hand, it's important for taxi drivers to get enough sleep to improve their mental health and well-being, yet force them with their policies to work longer hours and get less sleep? It doesn't make any sense. So I would suggest that TfL are once again virtue signalling. This week's news headlines from Taxi Leaks News Desk. Early in the week, Bloomberg reported that Uber's house of cards is about to come tumbling down, as investors, worried about the share price collapse, have instructed US law firm Rosen to take out a class action against the company. Also this week, we heard news from Joe Moyne, founder of the crowdfunded Good Law Project, that here in London, Uber fares may have to rise by 20% as the company face having to pay their fair share of VAT. Wandsworth Council have announced this week that they will in future be allowing taxi card passengers to double swipe. This will allow holders of taxi cards to bring down the cost of longer journeys. Double swiping has been allowed by other boroughs for many years. Also this week, a lawyer has said she wants to know why a convicted minicab driver's association with Uber has been covered up. Adifemi Adebisi was said by police to be high on drugs and had also been drinking cans of alcohol when he ploughed into and killed a male 27-year-old English graduate. The case was reported in the national press, but all reports failed to mention the fact that Adebisi had an Uber customer in his vehicle and had been working for the company when the incident occurred. Although it was mentioned in court, Uber's name has been completely cleansed from all media reports. We understand that Westminster City Council is working in partnership with Shaftesbury PLC on proposals to extend the Kingly Street, Carnaby Street pedestrianised shopping area further south to encompass Beak Street. Access will only be allowed between the hours of 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. After then, the exclusion will run to Warwick Street from Upper James Street. With poor signage, will we be seeing another closed circuit enforced cash cow for Westminster Council? Big news this week comes from Kent, where Medway Council have said they will issue legal proceedings against Uber to stop TfL-registered minicabs illegally working the area. It is now hoped that Medway's stand against Uber will be mirrored by many other local authorities throughout the UK.
Myself and a friend were in Clapham just on a night out, just a few drinks, nothing big. We missed the last train and we stayed out for a little bit longer and decided to get an Uber home, which is not unusual for us. After my friend got out of the taxi, we started driving home to my house and he started making some inappropriate comments to me about how I looked, asking me if I had a boyfriend. I was sitting in the back of the taxi, so I wasn't even next to him, but he turned around and put his hand on my knee. And I tried to move his hand off of my knee, and I was really shocked, to be honest. The thing is, in the area where I live, there's no lights, so everything was going through my head, thinking, what on earth's going to happen? Is he going to take me somewhere else? Is he going to take me home? I'm literally in this guy's car. I can't get out. So I thought, if I just let him hold my hand and put his hand on my leg, and I carry on talking to him, then maybe he'll be happy with that and we'll just get home. I then did eventually get out. I got out, I walked into my house, and I just burst into tears.
What
I think it's really important that things are regulated. We need to know who's driving people around. We need to know who's driving, what their history is. Do they have previous convictions? If there are people out there who actually have been caught for doing something bad before, then why the hell are they still on the road?
Some stormy revelations I can claim from the start. I'm kicking up a storm.
In quick news, Helen Chapman and the team at TfL TPH have refused all invitations to meet with private hire drivers and representatives at a seminar attended by outgoing CEO of New York City's Taxi and Limousine Commission. The purpose of the seminar was to discuss apps, worker rights and app data access. The High Court has agreed that merely using a function on a mobile phone which does not involve interactive telecommunication is not a mobile phone offence whilst driving. The judgment concluded that an offence is not committed unless it is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the phone was being used for an interactive telecommunication function at the time of the alleged offence. But before you think this gives the go-ahead to use your phone indiscriminately, be aware that holding a device may still be considered as driving with undue care and attention if the standard of driving falls below the standard expected of a driver on a public highway. Although this ruling might be considered a blessing, I cannot help but wonder if it is done to accommodate rideshare drivers who have to persistently interfere with their phone to carry out their job. TaxiApp is in talks with a technological development and PR company about how they can market their product to a wider audience. The company's CEO has an added interest in promoting the taxi trade as his father is a licensed black cab driver. TaxiApp is concerned that we are only at the start of the mobility era. Data is going to dominate future transport planning. Decisions and legacy pollution issues will affect regulation and change the demand for modes of transport. New players will develop and offer innovative electric-powered forms of transport in a market that competes on customer experience. Towns and cities must plan for big investments to redevelop electric energy infrastructure, and TaxiApp believes that the cab trade must take advantage of the opportunities offered by the mobility revolution.
Do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
The latest figures released by the London Electric Vehicle Company is celebrating record sales. 352 electric TX taxis were sold in September alone. LEVC is experiencing major demands for the TX model across the UK and Europe, with 3,000 sold since its launch 18 months ago. However, there is a new kid on the block. The Nissan Dynamo was finally rubber-stamped to operate as a taxi last month, and the first few have already made it onto the market. Here's what John Heath had to say about it to the Cab Chat radio show.
We started with this vehicle to build it for the driver.
Yeah.
It's built for the driver, not for the passenger. A driver spends 9 or 10 hours a day driving his taxi, and a passenger spends 15 minutes in the back. So really, why would you put the whole emphasis on the passenger? So the vehicle we started with, the donor vehicle, was a Nissan Evalia ENV200. The Evalia being the top of the range. So the standard equipment in a Dynamo is cruise control, it's heated steering wheel, it's DAB radio. It's got every single thing a driver would ever wish to have in his vehicle. And because we built it for the driver in mind, we've moved the driver section slightly to the rear, meaning that if you're 6'5", you can comfortably sit in a Dynamo all day long without worrying about having a twisted back or bent knees or any other illnesses that I've heard that drivers have had associated with sitting in one place uncomfortably for many periods, for many long hours.
Yeah, I have to say, I only moved it in this car park and around that, but the steering feels really light.
Yeah.
Have you done anything different?
Yeah, well, we redesigned the front steering to meet with London conditions of fitness turning circles, so all the steering is on the front wheels, it's not on the rear wheels at all.
Yeah.
The common feedback from the drivers is the visibility is superb. The performance, the comfort, it's all about the driver, and that's the feedback we've been getting. not to mention the cost of typically running a TX diesel is about £25 in diesel for every 100 miles they travel. On a dynamo, on a home charger, it's between £2.50 and £3. So it's 10 times cheaper than running a diesel taxi.
Nice.
Now, whether you like the shape of the dynamo, whether you don't like the shape of the dynamo, what you will like is the comfort aspect and the drivability, but more importantly, these savings you'll see from day one. There's not a long-term saving. You'll see it today, tomorrow, and the next day.
A group of cabbies have raised £8,000 for charity after cycling 55 miles from London to Brighton. 14 members of the London Taxi Drivers Charity for Children took part in a 2019 Skyline London to Brighton cycle ride on the 15th of September, pedalling from Clapham Common to Brighton Seafront. The team raised more than £8,000 towards the cost of the charity's next Mad Hatter's Tea Party, which will be held in January next year, and will give more than 600 disadvantaged children a fantastic day out. I'm on the bright side of being hell-bent. So talking of monumental feats, three brave London cabbies have reached their goal by climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in aid of the taxi charity for military veterans. The challenge was initiated 1 year ago by Roshan on Twitter, calling on fellow cabbies to lose weight by training to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. There was initially 10 respondees, which quickly became 7, then 5, then finally 3, Brian, John and Darren. The climbers raised thousands of pounds for a much-needed cause, and those funds will help war veterans by providing entertainment, outings and much-needed specialised equipment. The charity isn't state-funded and relies solely on voluntary donations. So if you want to contribute, the address for Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro donation page will be posted up at the end of this broadcast. Everybody wants to sing their song. So Marvin Gaye, what's going on? Ain't nothing normal when it comes to you and me. I'd rather twist myself in knots than watch you give up on your dreams.
The latest evolutionary step for London taxis is here. Introducing Taxi App.
Taxi App.
Uniquely founded, funded and owned by London black cab drivers.
Taxi App.
Just tap the app and pay for your journey by cash, card or on account.
Taxi App.
For the most qualified and knowledgeable taxi drivers in the world.
Taxi App.
Available to download now for free from Google Play and App Store or visit taxiapp.uk.com. Taxi App. Powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
There's no getting away from it, a phenomenal achievement by Brian, Darren and John, and one that should serve as an inspiration to us all. That's it from LTR this week, but remember, if you have a news item, a promotion or an event that you think we would be interested in covering, then, as I previously mentioned, you can get in touch with us by DMing us on Twitter at London Taxi Radio or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. You can follow us on our Facebook page, London Taxi Radio. And why wouldn't you want to do that, huh? Like and subscribe on YouTube, or you can email us, sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk. Until next time, I'll leave you with Alexander O'Neill and Criticise. And just maybe, I'll see you out there on the mean streets.
Number one music station. The best music, live and direct. This is
London Taxi Radio.